You're tuned in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. My last guest today is Dr. Michael Yellowbird. Hello, Dr. Yellowbird. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Yes. Would you please introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yeah. I'm actually glad to be calling from Treaty One territory in Manitoba, the homelands of the Anishinaabe, the Dakota, the Cree, Oji Cree, the Dene people, as well as the Métis people. So this is where I'm calling from.
Thank you so much for that, for those words and that acknowledgement. You are going to be the featured speaker for the Evening at Egan presentation this Friday. And the title of your talk is Mindful Decolonization, Spirits in Our Genes, and the Science of Traditional Indigenous Contemplative Practices. I'm really fascinated by all of those terms. I was wondering if you could kind of break down each one for us a little.
Well, let's see. Neurodecolonization is this idea that as we begin to heal ourselves from the effects of colonialism, and we take a path, you know, by doing certain kinds of things in terms of cleansing ourselves and stripping away these harmful, invasive thoughts and practices and beliefs, you know, and values that have been imposed by colonizing structures, processes, people, laws, governance, that sort of thing. So neurodecolonization understands that, you know, these things get embedded in our bodies, in our minds, our molecular, cellular structures, as well as our brain. So these are things that we didn't understand until fairly recently, you know, when we were able to take a look at what happens to the body when it's under tremendous chronic stress and trauma from racism, oppression, being removed from your land, uncertainty, all those kinds of things. The next piece of neurodecolonization is the idea that there's a renaissance period. The renaissance period after the cleansing period is the time when we as Indigenous people begin to restore cultural practices, beliefs, and values, those kinds of things that were taken away or abandoned during colonization, but they're still relevant and necessary for survival and well-being. The third part of the model I talk about is the Enlightenment period. So the Enlightenment period then is like, how do we come together as people to, you know, cooperate, to change things? That's the big part of that cooperation. The other part of it is that there is, you know, in the Enlightenment period, in decolonization, is that we begin to use new ideas, thinking, beliefs, technologies, lifestyles that are going to contribute to the advancement and the empowerment of Native folks. So a lot of this work that I've done is based upon what's known as mismatch theory or evolutionary biology and psychology. The idea that for many of us, we evolved particular traits, you know, with our ancestors that were once advantageous to us. And now today, you know, either we're not doing those kinds of things or those kinds of things can be disadvantages to us. What I mean by that is that many of us who are Indigenous evolved to store fat, for example. I'll just use this one. And so, you know, we're more prone to getting diabetes if we don't work the fat off. But the fat back in the day when our ancestors went through periods of starvation was something that saved us from starvation because we were able to kind of get through those periods of hardship and starvation by living off, you know, the excess weight that we have. Now today in a Western society, it's kind of, you know, eat as much as you want, you know, and whenever you want. And ad libitum is what they call it. Eating, you know, as much as you want, anytime you want, has caused all kinds of additional health problems, whether they're emotional, mental, or physical problems or spiritual problems. Because, you know, we don't think a lot about food as being a spiritual part of our life, but it really is. So we've kind of abandoned a lot of those things in our period of, or got them taken away in our period of colonization. So that's what neurodecolonization is about. Those things get fixed in the body, they get fixed in the brain. And in order to heal from that, we need to change the way we think, restore values, strip away the other stuff, delete some of these really problematic neural networks in our brain, and then begin to return to who we really once were and still are genetically and biologically and culturally and those kinds of things. So that's what neurodecolonization is all about. So you asked about four or five different words. I'm trying to remember what else you asked.
How about some examples of traditional indigenous contemplative practices that are a part of your focus?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, some of my slides, one of my slides, I have, you know, I've been to Alaska a number of times and had a chance to, you know, interact with people. So contemplative practices are not like just sitting on a cushion and meditating. The contemplative practices we do are all kinds of ceremonial things. They could be singing. So when you're singing, you're focusing on a certain sound, a certain word, a certain phrase, certain words, and the way that you express yourself in the singing changes neural networks, and it sort of helps to get the brain to not only remember, but also to raise different kinds of neurochemistry in the body. So that I'm going to talk about some of that neurochemistry. Dancing is the same thing. This is why cultures all over the world have sang and danced through all occasions, whether it's starvation or celebrating a marriage or the birth of a child or during hard times or just, you know, for fun and social. All cultures around the world have engaged in dancing and singing. And another one is the contemplative practice is movement. Or even just, you know, like in some of my friends were Yupik talked about a time when, you know, the Yupik hunters would stand over a blowhole for hours and hours just paying attention to whether or not, you know, a seal is going to come up. That's a contemplative practice. What it does, again, is it changes the way the brain is firing. It slows it down, changes brain waves, and then it begins to actually heal different parts of our cellular and molecular structures in our body. So the thing about why, you know, I think we're very ill today is that we have lost and abandoned a lot of those things. Have joined this sort of demand. That's another thing about the contemplative practices. So I'll talk a little bit about, you know, a number of those kinds of things that I think are really important for people to be doing in order to recover, you know, from different diseases and illnesses, and as well as to begin to, you know, create a lifestyle then that supports, you know, better health. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Dr. Yellowbird, I had a lot of questions for you, but I'm afraid we're just about out of time. Today's show did not go to plan.
That's fine.
So we're running a little bit short, but in a way it's good. I think that you've given our listeners enough of a teaser that they'll want to tune in. The presentation is Friday. It's part of the Evening at Egan lecture series. It's at 7 p.m. via Zoom. It's free and you can register at uas.alaska.edu/Egan lecture. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audiences today before we say goodbye?
Well, I just think, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in the practices of our ancestors, no matter who we are. There's a lot of benefit that we can gain by engaging in some of those things that we think probably don't make sense in the industrialized modern, so-called modern world we have today. So I think people will be, you know, I hope they're going to be very surprised and very feel very validated, you know, that the culture, the language, the things that we have done, our ancestors did, are still embedded in us, you know, at these molecular genetic levels and that sort of thing. And so I just, you know, really hope people tune in, and I'm really looking forward to the talk and also answering questions that people may have. So,
really interesting stuff. Thank you so much again for speaking with me today, and best of luck with your presentation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we'll have a conversation curated by members of the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee, and listeners like you. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. To listen to individual interviews or see links to anything we discussed or to be on the show yourself, please check out our website at ktoo.org/Juneau Afternoon. And until tomorrow, have a great Juneau evening.